From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. Got milk? California dairy farmers do, but they're worried about what they'll get for it. A fourth of the state's dairy farms closed up shop in the past decade. And this week, the state's agriculture department, which regulates the milk pricing system, didn't provide the boost dairy farmers were hoping to receive. The state of the state's dairy industry. That's our topic in our first half hour. And then it's on to immigration. President Obama reiterated his call for immigration reform yesterday. A panel of reporters brings us up to date. It's all ahead on Forum after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. California is the nation's leading milk producer, but the state's dairy industry is going through some challenging times. There are about 25% fewer dairy farms in California than there were a decade ago, from 2,100 operations in 2003 down to just 1,500 plus at the end of 2012. Part of the reason is production costs, including the high cost of feed, which skyrocketed in recent years before moderating this past year. But California dairy farmers also play by a different set of rules than their counterparts in most states. Elsewhere, dairy prices are usually governed by federal regulations, but in California, the state sets the pricing structure. And this week, the state agriculture department chose to extend a 12-cent per 100 pounds of milk price increase, but that was far less than dairy farmers were hoping for. We're going to get a check-in on the state of the state's dairy industry this half hour. Joining us first to do that, Karen Rush. She's Secretary of the California Department of Food and Agriculture. Secretary Rush, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for inviting me.
So first on your decision this week to extend this 12.5 cent price increase, which was about four times less than dairy farmers were looking for. They wanted something in the 45 cent per 100 pound range. Why did you come down with that decision?
Well, there were a number of factors. First of all, there was not economic data put on the record to justify basing such a large increase solely on one class of milk, which was the 4B class of milk.
And that is the 4B?
That's what is used. It's a manufactured milk class for cheese making. And we have to base our decisions upon economic data and within our statutory authority. And so there was not justification for that. Even though the hearing panel of experts had actually recommended that there be no change in what we are doing, I felt that the recovery that we're seeing is still fragile and that we needed to provide some additional income for producers and get us through the first half of next year.
How would you assess the current state of dairy farm operations in the state? As I mentioned in the introduction, we've seen a decline in numbers. How challenging are times right now for dairy farmers?
Well, it is challenging, and last year was especially painful because we had such volatility that was caused by a drought in the Midwest, which drove corn prices up dramatically. Corn is a very important and significant part of the production costs. California historically has had a strategic advantage because we could be the low-cost producer. But we have based that advantage on our ability to import low-cost feed using low-cost energy, and last year that picture changed dramatically. Unfortunately, we are not isolated in what we're seeing here. We have seen dairy farm numbers decline across the country. The state of Wisconsin last year lost 500 dairies. It's in a global economy, we start to see consolidation, and we don't have a lot of flexibility in our system to try to change that.
Well, let me ask you about that system. In your announcement, you also said the following: our antiquated pricing system demands structural reform. What exactly needs to change? And explain, if you would, this what seems like sort of an odd circumstance that California plays by its own set of rules, whereas Wisconsin, another big dairy-producing state, and most other states are part of the federal milk pricing order system. Why is California going it alone? Is that something that ought to change?
Well, that certainly would be up to the industry itself, and they are doing serious analysis of whether they should petition and join a federal milk marketing order. I may be old, but I was not here when our system was created. And I think that the producers and the processors at that time felt strongly that they wanted more flexibility that a state order would provide for them and the opportunity to make adjustments more swiftly than a federal order would allow them. We had a system that was put together the way it was in the 60s that actually has accomplished a great deal. It helped make California the number one dairy state. It allowed for significant growth in cows and volume of milk. But we have had significant changes in the marketplace. When we created our system in the 1960s, about 60% of our milk was fluid milk, which is the high-value part of the milk chain, and it was sold primarily to Californians inside our state borders. Today, less than 14% of the milk is actually fluid milk, and our markets are for manufactured products that have to compete nationally and internationally.
So just briefly, what is it that you would like to see change? If it's not to become, and I understand you're saying that that's an industry decision to join up with the federal rules, what do you think, what would make the biggest difference that would help the California dairy industry flourish in the future?
Well, there's a couple of things. We have to take a serious look at where our milk is actually going and what the marketplace is for that, and that's in the manufactured milk class. 4A is butter and powders. 4B is cheese. Those are products that are in big demand on a global basis, but more importantly, new technology has allowed us to take milk and the components of milk to do new product development, and that's also in huge demand as the need for protein around the world grows. And so we have a whey product that used to be considered waste as part of cheese making. Now there are ways of using technology, expensive technology, to actually take what was a waste product, but as a byproduct, stream it into proteins, isolates, and other components for food production, and actually receive value from that. We need to have a system that responds more quickly to the market, that also stimulates research and development for new products, and that allows people to be very competitive on a global basis. So we have to reform specifically 4A and 4B, which right now makes up 80% of where our milk goes.
Karen Ross, Secretary of the California Department of Food and Agriculture. Thank you for getting us started on our state of the state dairy system this morning.
It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
We're joined next by Tom Barcelos, who is owner of Barcelos Farms and the T-Bar Dairy, an 800-cow dairy farm in Tipton, California. Tom Barcelos, thanks very much for joining us.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for having me.
We just heard the secretary say that there wasn't enough evidence presented at the hearing this week to determine whether or not there should be a larger increase in prices for California farmers. What's the evidence that you would offer in terms of your own experience that says you need a price increase?
Well, at the hearing, apparently more than 60 bankruptcy flyers or sales was not compelling enough to offer the change. But if they want the technical numbers, that's things that have to be developed within the department. That's in their expertise. The claim that proprietary information doesn't have to share that, they could gather that information and actually come up with a very good analysis. But with the result of the hearing, there's already several more facilities that have contacted brokers and said they can't continue on the way it is, and they're going out of business too.
And how are you faring? Are you what do you assess as your prospects to be able to stay in business?
Well, the fact that I grow all of my own feed, we do all of our own work as far as harvesting and bringing the crops in. We're able to weather the storm, and we're a pretty diversified operation. But for those that are strictly milking cows, in particular if they're on a rented facilities. It's difficult, and a lot of them have already decided they're going to throw in the towel, and the banks will make the decisions because this is a typical time of year when they're working on refinancing or renewing lines for the coming year. It's going to be a challenge for many.
One of the interesting articles I read about this topic is that there's actually some states who are recruiting California dairy farmers at the Agriculture Expo that was held in, I think, your county last summer. There were representatives from 9 other states, including the governor of South Dakota, who was out there saying, you ought to come and be a dairy farmer in my state instead. Are any of your friends, colleagues thinking about that, that there are just better places to do dairy business than here?
Oh, there's many that have done that already. At World Expo is just 20 miles from me, and they've been trying to pursue California dairy producers for the last 10 years or better. And a good friend from 30 miles away is moving to Tennessee. There are some that have relocated to Iowa. Several others have gone to Wisconsin. So they're asking them to come. Some have built in even in Kansas. So it's no mystery that they desire the expertise and the ambition of a California dairy producer to come to their state and help bring prosperity.
And just one last question, Tom Barcelos. What, to you, is the secret to making further progress? Part of it sounds like what you've been able to do is to keep a lot of operations in-house, that you grow your own grain so you're not subject to those spikes that happen from elsewhere. What else has to happen if more of your friends and neighbors are going to be able to stay in business here as opposed to moving somewhere else?
Well, I think primarily it boils down to what we've been asking for the last 4 or 5 years in the hearings we've petitioned for, and that's a correction in the whey price in the 4B, because that's the only thing that is out of whack with what's going on in the rest of the country and milk prices. If that had been corrected, we would have received enough money, specifically in the last 4 years, another $305 per cow. Translated onto my facility was another $275,000 over that period. Extrapolate that to any facility, and some of them would have continued in business today.
So again, so for people who aren't as familiar with the terms, the whey part of the milk, that 4B milk, that's the milk that winds up going into cheese production, is that correct?
That's correct, and that's what we've petitioned for, and whey has been processed since 1965 at some level. And at this point, we're just asking to get paid for any component of our milk like we do for every other component in that particular section.
Tom Barcelos, thanks very much for contributing your point of view, and best of luck in the months ahead.
Thank you very much, and drink more milk and eat more cheese.
All right, thank you. We're going to widen out our conversation now and hear from both sides of this question that's before us. Michael Marsh joins us. He's the CEO of Western United Dairymen. Michael Marsh, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks, Dave.
And Rachel Caldor joins us as well. She is Executive Director of the Dairy Institute of California, which represents dairy processors of cheese, ice cream, and so forth. Rachel Caldor, thanks very much for being with us as well.
Good morning, and hi, Mike.
And we welcome your calls as well. If you have a question about what's going on with the dairy industry and whether or not it will continue to flourish, you can join us now at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. Rachel Caldor, we just heard from Tom Barcelos, one of the dairy farmers who feels pinched by not having high enough price for the whey part of milk, the 4B milk that goes into cheese. You see this issue, I know, quite differently. Outline your response to his concerns and why you think the current system is really okay.
Well, I'm not sure I agree that the current system is really okay. I'd have to echo what the Secretary said about a need to reform and update our pricing system to really reflect our new markets, which are global in scope. But with regard to the whey factor, basically what Tom pointed out was something that really needs to be highlighted, and that is that the federal system, that whey price that's being paid at the federal level, ostensibly, is a really a benchmark price. It's not a market clearing or minimum price. So when the Secretary of Food and Ag has to set the prices that she just did in this hearing.
Hey, Rachel, we're having a lot of difficulty with your line. Why don't we just pause for a moment? We'll see if we can get your line cleared up, and then we'll get the rest of your commentary. But Michael Marsh, let me ask you to join in on that particular point, which is again this question about California setting its own standards as opposed to the federal milk market ordering system that most dairy farmers use elsewhere around the country. Does that put California then at a real disadvantage if the price for whey, this part of the milk that goes to cheese, is supported at a higher level elsewhere?
Oh, absolutely. And that's been the real challenge we've had in the state of California. And like anything else, it's kind of a story, Dave. You go back to, in 2003, Secretary Bill Lyons, Secretary of Food and Ag at that point, he heard a petition by dairy producers that was brought saying, "Mr. Secretary, please connect our price to the marketplace for cheese." And Secretary Lyons heard the pleas of the dairy farmers, and he agreed, and he changed our pricing formula in the state so that the farmer's price was connected to the price for cheese in the marketplace. So when the price of cheese went up, the farmer's milk price went up. When the farmer's when the price of cheese went down, the farmer's price went down. But the cheesemakers were furious at this and actually tried to get Secretary Lyons removed from office as a result of this decision because they didn't want the farmer's milk price connected to the marketplace. So in 2007, we had what I referred to as the billion-dollar blunder at CDFA. And in 2007, the cheesemakers prevailed upon then-Secretary A.G. Kawamura to go ahead and disconnect the farmer's price from the milk price from the marketplace. And immediately, extraordinary volatilities just started whipsawing the dairy farmers in the state, also challenged by high feed costs caused by U.S. ethanol policy, and hundreds of California dairymen went out of business.
So let me hold you there because Rachel Caldor has rejoined us and I want to get her to continue what she was saying about this. But it sounds like the heart of this debate is this question of pricing for the milk that goes into cheese. And I'm hearing two things, Rachel Caldor. It's the difference between California rules versus the federal rules. But Mike Marsh is also saying that there's a disconnect between the marketplace, what the price of cheese is, and the price that farmers get for the milk that produces that cheese. Your point of view.
Actually, Mike pointed out that in 2007, there was a change in policy. That change in policy was required by the atmospherics, which were we were flooded with milk. In other words, the price was too high for the signal for the dairymen to produce more and more milk. And plant capacity was overwhelmed. So milk was hitting the ground, meaning being dumped. It was being moved out of state, and we lost three cheese plants. So the department saw that they needed to take some action to control basically that whey value. You mentioned that. That is a piece of both the federal order pricing system and California's as well. And that price was allowed to float up to the point at the time before 2007 where it was overvaluing the milk. And the reason for that is whey is a, as the secretary mentioned, was a waste stream that had to be dealt with. We deal in billions of pounds of milk, and that byproduct of whey coming off the cheese making process needed to be dealt with. It couldn't be disposed. So
I'm gonna hop in just for a moment here because this is getting complicated. And I think for a lot of our listeners who are not familiar with whey, let alone curds and whey and all the rest of the cheesemaking process, may be getting a bit lost because I confess I am. So let's just try to get this in the moments that we have remaining down to the heart of what would be fair for California dairy farmers so that they can get a fair price, be competitive with their counterparts in other states, and also, obviously, not have the price be so high that it's going to be a huge detriment to your enterprise, Rachel Caldor.
Okay.
So just drill down on that for a moment, and then Mike Marsh, I'll get your response.
I'll drill down quickly. The secretary said it very well. We need to reform our pricing so that we can do two things. Keep dairy farmers in business, despite that high feed cost spike at times and other environmental and market conditions. We need to acknowledge that we're in a global marketplace, and we need a pricing system to deal with that. So, and I hear my static on the line again. So that's where we need to be. If we can't do that, we can't thrive. You cannot grow an industry or keep an industry in business when the supplier tries to do do something to the detriment of their customer, and we can't keep doing that.
So,
we have to come to a court.
So, Mike Marsh, where is the sweet spot between this question of doing things that will benefit both dairy and keep the cheese group afloat as well? What do we need to do that will be fair to both in terms of the pricing structure and the way in which California functions independently from the rest of the country?
Dave, what we need to do is what we've been trying to do since that fateful blunder in 2007. That's reconnect the farmer's milk price back to the marketplace. If we're able to do that, well...
How do you do that? Tell me what that means.
It's very simple. You simply use the actual price of cheese and connect the farmer's milk price, what he gets paid for with the price of cheese, just like Secretary Lyons did in 2003. Since 2007, what has occurred is that the farmers have transferred $1 billion from out of their pockets to the cheese plants as a result of that blunder that was made at CDFA in 2007. So we've got to get that fixed. Otherwise, we won't have any dairy farmers left in the state.
And Rachel Calder, what's wrong with that approach? Why not, if the price of a pound of cheddar is X, why shouldn't the milk producers get something that's in proportion to that price?
They do, and that's the 4B formula that's in place right now. And the idea that it's not working is exactly what the Secretary pointed out. It doesn't account for the kind of technology and change that is happening in the marketplace. So if we are to return fairly to dairymen, then we have to all be connected in the supply chain and all work toward a common solution. And that's what her task force is about. That's what they're trying to achieve, and that's really the goal that we all have to keep in mind. We each need to prosper.
So what is it besides, it sounds like you don't really object to the idea that if the price of cheese goes up, then,
right,
then the milk guys ought to get more too.
Absolutely.
So if you agree on that point, I guess I'm a little muddled about why there isn't an agreement between the both of you.
You can't really use a regulated pricing formula to set values that really accurately reflect what's going on in the market in a timely way. And that's, again, to the Secretary's point earlier. So we need a reformed system, but we all need to recognize what has to happen in our industry to make us successful. We all have to be part of that supply chain and recognize it. So, you know, to say to some person, you took all this money from me, that's really not the approach. If dairy farmers who are staying in business, and I must say their prices have improved, thankfully, over the past year, if we can keep that going, that's the answer. But we need to do it in a new format. And I think that we all recognize dairymen paid for two studies that say the same thing. Reform your pricing so you can be participants in the global economy.
And Mike Marsh, last word to you on this. It sounds like there's not an objection in principle to milk people getting more for their cheese, but it needs to be coupled with a regulatory change that would allow more flexibility in the way the whole system works. Is that something that you can agree on?
I think we need to, again, Dave, reconnect the farmer's price back to the marketplace. If I'm a dairy farmer in Idaho and I'm shipping to Chobani yogurt plant, I get the market price for yogurt, for my milk that's going into that plant. If I'm in Tillamook, Oregon, and I'm shipping my milk to their cheese creamery there, I get the market price for my milk.
So the difference here, Mike Marsh, is that you want that, you want a regulatory tie, whereas the cheese industry wants this to be something that isn't tied to a specific rulemaking procedure. Is that right?
Essentially, because I believe they've benefited very much from having that $1 billion transferred from the farmers to the cheesemakers in our state. $1 billion since 2007.
We will have to leave it there. I'm sorry to not have more time on this. It's a complicated but important topic, not only for both of your industries, but for consumers, of course, as well. Wish you both the best of luck in working this through so that both of your industries can continue to prosper in the future. Mike Marsh of the Western United Dairymen, Rachel Calder of the Dairy Institute of California. Earlier, we heard from Tom Barcelos and from Karen Ross, the Secretary of the California Department of Food and Agriculture. We will turn next to the subject of immigration. That's next on Forum after this.